दुष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया शूरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो एनीवन हु रिमेम्बर्स एते चामशकला पुंसा विदाउट सीइंग कैन समवन रिसाइट? यस प्लीज रिसाइट। We will recite behind you. So lead. Ete chamsha kalapam sa Krishna stu bhagavan swayam Indrari vyakulam lokam Mridayanti yuge yuge. Yes, yes Prabhu. Yourself raise the hand. Nah? Oh, yeah, please. एते चांश कलाह पुंसः कृष्णस्तु भगवान् स्वयं इन्द्रारि व्याकुरं लोकं मृडयन्ति युगे युगे। यस एनीवन एल्स हु हैज मेमोराइज्ड? यस प्रभु प्लीज। एते चांश कलाह पुंसः कृष्णस्तु भगवान् स्वयं इन्द्रारि व्याकुलं लोकं मृडयन्ति युगे युगे। यस वन मोर रिसाइटेशन। यस परमानंद। एते चांश कलाह पुंसः कृष्णस्तु भगवान् स्वयं इन्द्रारि व्याकुलं लोकं मृडयन्ति युगे युगे। Yes, good. Anyone remember the other verse which I gave for homework? Saved dhatu padavim prasya. Yes, anyone remember that? To try it out. Yes, you remind me your name, Prabhu? Gauranga Gurandava Prabhu. No, I'll remember. Yes.
Saved dhatu padavim prasya. दुरंत वीर्यस्य रथांगपाणे यो मायया संततानुवृत्य भजेत तत्पाद सरोजगंधम।
यस गुड वेरी नाइस। एनीवन एल्स हू हैज मेमोराइज्ड इट? यस
सवेद धातु प्रदविं परस्या दुरंत वीरस्य रथांग पाणे यो मायया संततानुवृत्या भजेत तत्पाद सरोज गंधम।
सो वेरी नाइस। मेनी ऑफ यू हैव मेमोराइज्ड इट। So we'll continue from verse 40th, the last section of this chapter, wherein there is a glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this section what is the question? Question 2? What was the question? Bhuri Bhurini Karmani Shutavyani Vibhagasha. What was that question number? Let me just check that. What is the number of the question? Yeah, that is the question number 2. Bhuri Bhurini Karmani Shutavyani Vibhagasha. Yadatra Sadhu Tatsaram Samudhritya Manishaya. Right? So he said, there are so many duties enjoined. Bhuri Bhuri Karmani. We hear of so many duties, right, to be performed. You should do this, you should do this, this is the duty, and so on. Question 2. 1, 2, 6. Right? You can see in your Subodhani also. I think that verse may not be there in the Subodhani. Or it is there? 1, 2, 6. That is the second question. Okay. Sanskrit word is not there, no? Bhuri Bhurini Karmani. That is the, sorry, question. Where is the question? It's not 1 to 6. Where is the question? Question number in the book. It is 1341, right? 13. No, that's the answer to that. Bhuri Bhurini Karmani. 11th verse of 1111. Yeah, that is 1111. 1111, if you see, it is Bhuri Bhurini Karmani Shutavyani Vibhagasha. There are so many duties to be enjoined. Right? Atha sadhu atriyat saram samudhritya manishaya. Therefore, please tell the essence of it. And that essence, Bruhi Bhadraya Bhutanam Yenatma Suprasidati. Please tell the essence, and that essence should be for the good of all living entities and should completely satisfy the self. Right? So, what is the answer to that? Question 2. Savaypumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahituke apratihata yatma suprasidati. So you see, in the question there is yenatma suprasidati. That tells something which will satisfy the soul. Answer also says, yeah, savaypumsam paro dharmo yata bhaktir adhokshaje ahituke avyata yatma suprasidati. So if you see, question has yenatma suprasidati and yatma suprasidati. You will also find a question, answer to this question in this section also. You will also find. So it's not just that the answer is completed over there. You will also find the answer to question second in this section. Right? So I'll show you when the answer comes. So you keep that page open, 1111. You can keep some mark over there. I'll again ask you to refer the question. So we'll find the second part of the answer also, or the further extension of the answer in this section also. Okay, let's begin. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Uttam Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishihi Nishreyasaya Lokasya Dhanyam Swastayanam Mahat.
This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Sri Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect.
Hi, welcome. Okay. Idam Bhagavatam Nama. Right? So we are discussing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam. Right? So this Puran, which is of the name of Bhagavatam. Right? So Idam Puranam. This Puran, which is named Bhagavatam, this is Brahma Sammitam. Brahma Samhitam, there is one Brahma Samhita spoken by Lord Brahma. But here is Brahma Samhitam. Here Brahma also indicates the Supreme Lord, Parabrahma. The word Brahma also indicates Supreme Lord. Brahma kahe mahat vatsu, mahat vastu, any great thing to be indicated. The greatness of the Lord is indicated by the word Brahm in general. Right? When you have to indicate the greatness of the Lord, the word Brahm is used. So therefore, Brahm Samhitam here indicates, it indicates that this Samhita is equivalent to Krishna. Krishna is also indicated by the word of Brahm, because it's Parabrahma. So one word could have many connotations. So you cannot stick, one word, Brahma, in this verse it connotes this, in that verse it could, Brahma word can also connote Parabrahm. The word Maya can connote means it meaning. In a particular context, Maya may mean Lord's Mahamaya. Maya can also mean Yoga Maya, both. So what do I use Maya? Both, anything can be indicated. Right? So therefore one word could have many meanings. So one has to see the context, which meaning is shown by the Acharyas over here. Therefore, Brahm here indicates it is Brahm Samhitam in the Samhita describing Supreme Lord, Krishna. Here Brahma Vadit connoting this Puranam is equivalent to Krishna. Why is this Puran is equivalent to Krishna? Right? So Idam Bhagatam Purana, Idam Bhagatam Nama, Puranam Brahm Samhitam, this is equivalent to Krishna himself. Uttam Shloka Charitam, because it is describing the characteristics of the Lord. Right? And we understand that the name, form, qualities are not different. Therefore, this Puran is filled with the qualities, characteristics of the Lord. Therefore, it is Uttam Shloka Charitam. Therefore, it is not different from Krishna, the Brahma Samhitam. Okay, who has compiled? Chakar Bhagavan Rishi. Right? So, there are details of the Bhagatam are being given in this verse. The Supreme Lord in his incarnation as a Rishi, Vyasadeva, has compiled this. For what purpose has he compiled this? Nishreyasaya Lokasya. In order to bring the highest good, Nishreyasaya. In order to bring the ultimate good. So remember this term, Nishreyasaya. You will see this term again in certain verses. Nishreyasaya means ultimate spiritual good. Lokasya and Dhanyam Sustayanam Mahat. Prabhupada writes very beautifully. Dhanyam means it is all successful. Sustayanam means all blissful. Mahat means it is all perfect. It's just a very beautiful glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Talking that this Puran is equivalent to Krishna. Why? Because Uttam Shloka Charitam. Who compiled it? Chakar Bhagavan Rishi. Chakar means compiled by Bhagavan Rishi. And for what purpose? Nishresaya Lokasya. For the benefit of people, everyone, in general. Therefore, it is Dhanyam, Sustayanam, Mahat. It is all Dhanyam, it is all perfect, all blissful. Anyway, if you don't remember the exact, but it is Dhanyam, Rupa translates as, it's all successful, or fully successful. It's all successful, right? Dhanya, like someone achieved the success, you say Dhanya, Dhanya, kind of. And Sustayanam, all blissful, all perfect. Fine, so very beautiful glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse you should try to memorize again. Idam Bhagavatam Nama, Puranam Brahma Samhitam. So I have shown you how the verse is composed with the word-to-word meaning. Shri Bhagavat Varas Karila Prachare Krishna Tulya Bhagavat Janaila Samsare. So remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of his main contribution is he preached Bhakti Ras based upon Shri Bhagavat Tattva Ras Karila Prachare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually preaching Bhagavat Tattva Ras. And he made the whole world know. He emphasized it. Right? Krishna Tulya Bhagavat Janaila Samsare. Right? Here we are understanding that this is Puranam Brahma Samhitam, not different from Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the whole world know that. Therefore, we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam as taught by Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. Our study of Bhagavatam is in that line, in that way. Mahaprabhu has shown how to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada begins the purport, declared that Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless sound representation of all Vedic knowledge and history. In the sixth line of the purport, Prabhupada says, Srimad Bhagavatam should be worshipped as respectfully as we worship the Lord. Krishna Tulya Bhagavat Vibhu Sarvashray. Again, there is a verse, same Siddhant, Krishna Tulya Bhagavat. Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. Vibhu, it is Vibhu. Sarvashray. Vibhu means very vast, very great, infinite. We say, there are 2 years we are going to complete. Right? How it is Vibhu? Right? But Srimad Bhagavatam, again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, anyone who feels that he can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, he has not understood anything about Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is Vibhu. Therefore, don't think that you will become a master of Srimad Bhagavatam at the end of 2 years. And you will know so many verses, you will do a mastery. We have not come to do mastery over Srimad Bhagavatam. We should not have that attitude. We have come to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Come to be blessed by the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam. No one can fully understand Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Vibhu. Right? It is so vast, so great. Who can understand Krishna? Right? Jananta eva janantu. Brahmaji says, there are people who say, I understand Krishna. Right? Some people we meet, Krishna ko hum jante hain. Brahmaji bolte hain ki main to itna hi janta hun ki main kuch nahi janta hun. Ek prayer mein Brahmaji bolte hain. So like that. So therefore understand. Again, Prabhupada is setting here the right mood. Don't try to master over Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't try to say, I'll capture Srimad Bhagavatam with my mind, with my intelligence, with my IQ, with my ability, and so on. We have to become a servant of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to approach Bhagavatam as respectfully as we approach the Lord. Right? In a very prayerful mood, that please allow me to serve you. Please reveal yourself to me. So in the mood of service, we should approach Srimad Bhagavatam. In a very humble mood. Right? In the mood of servant of the Vaishnavas. Right? Whenever there is opportunity, we serve the Vaishnavas. By their mercy, by Lord's mercy, we will get some entrance into Srimad Bhagavatam. Remember that. Right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said very clearly, who says he understands Srimad Bhagavatam, doesn't understand Srimad Bhagavatam at all. So, Srimad Bhagavatam should be worshipped as respectfully as we worship the Lord. Thereby, we can derive the ultimate blessings of the Lord through its careful and patient study. Right? So, you should underline with the words of Prabhupada how we have to study very carefully, very patiently. As God is all light, all bliss and all perfection, so also is Srimad Bhagavatam. Swarup Damodar Goswami advised all intending visitors who came to see the Lord. Right? This is again 4 or 5 lines ahead. Swarup Damodar Goswami advised all intending visitors who came to see the Lord at Puri to make a study of Srimad Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatam. Right? So we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, from Prabhupada, right? With the help of Purport, with the help of Vishnu Jagati Thakur. So we have that great fortune. So, yeah, Swarup Damodar Goswami has said a beautiful verse. This is in Antya Leela, 5th chapter, verse 131, where Swarup Damodar Goswami gives his advice, which is Prabhupada quotes the translation of it. Yaha Bhagavat Pada Bhagavatirasthane. Yaha Bhagavat Pada Vaishnavirasthane. So Swarup Damodar Goswami told, one poet who had come, and there were many other visitors, so he told everyone that you should go and study Bhagavatam from Vaishnava, one who is trying to live by Bhagavatam. Ekant ashray kar chaitanya charane, and one should exclusively take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, taking the shelter of Mahaprabhu's teaching, being humbler than a blade of grass, tolerant than a tree, always giving respect to others, not expecting any respect for oneself, in that, right, so we have to take shelter of Mahaprabhu's teaching and approach Srimad Bhagavatam. Then only we will be able to get some entrance into Srimad Bhagavatam. This is very important. This purport is very important. 41. tad idam grahyamas sutam atma vatam varam sarva vedeti hasanam saram saram samudhritam.
Shri Vyasdev delivered it to his son, who is most respected among the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all Vedic literatures and histories of the universe.
Okay, so tad idam grahyamasa. So now Vyasadeva compiled this great literature, idam bhagavatam nama puranam brahma samhitam uttam shloka charitam. Remember, chakar bhagavan rishi nishrisaya lokasya, and this is dhanyam swastayanam mahat, all perfect, all blissful. So idam grahyam asa, tad idam grahyam asa. Vyasadeva, after compiling, he was actually praying to the Lord, okay, who is going to accept this Bhagavatam? Someone needs qualification. Grahyam asa. So by the blessings of, by his prayers, he was blessed with a son who could have the capability to accept the Srimad Bhagavatam. That means at that time, Vyasadeva could not find any suitable candidate who could actually accept the Srimad Bhagavatam. One needs some qualification, right? It's a samhita which is equivalent to Krishna. So someone who can understand and explain and expand it, right, with the realization, there is a qualification needed. Vyasadeva could not find any qualified person. Therefore, Sukhdev Goswami, by his prayers, he was blessed with a son who could accept the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, he made his son accept the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So therefore, we all hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We all chant the holy name of the Lord. We have many activities of devotional service. Each one of us has a different capacity to assimilate. Each one of the different capacity to assimilate. So Vyasadeva wanted somebody who can assimilate the full Bhagavatam. Right? Getting the point? So therefore, a person has to be have that caliber to assimilate. So his own son, Sutam Atma Vatam Varam, right, who was actually who was most respected, Atma Vatam Varam, he was self-realized. And thus he made his son to accept this Bhagavatam, which is Sarva Vede Itihasa Nam Saram Saram Samudhritam. Of all the Vedas in the Hata, this is cream, saram saram twice, samudhritam, taken out. So Vyasadeva had taken out the cream, right? But he found that most of the people have difficulty digesting milk also, right? Who will digest the cream of it? Therefore, he had to have a person of a caliber, right? Of Sukhdev Goswami, who could assimilate all the cream, right, taken out by Vyasadeva. Saram saram samudhritam. So go to the question 2. Atha sadhu atriyat saram samudhritya manishaya. Right? So there is a, tell us a sar which has been assimilated by intelligent people. Therefore, the second answer to second question is, they are asking, what is the essence of all scriptures? First answer is, bhakti is the essence of all scriptures, right? Devotional service. Second answer, second part of the answer is, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the sense of all the scriptures, because Srimad Bhagavatam is propounding bhakti only. Right? So there is, it's not a, it's in the line, it's a continuation. Therefore, saram saram samudhritam. That is, these words are there in the question also. Atha sadhu utrayat saram samudhritya manishaya. Okay, so then, so Prabhupada, in the first paragraph, he says that only men with poor fund of knowledge accepts the history that began 2600 years back. Before that, they feel we have no accounts and so on. Okay, so the modern man has a very few, you know, few thousand years of history they believe in. But Prabhupada is saying that, but In Srimad Bhagavatam, the second paragraph, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, historical facts selected from the histories of different planets have been depicted, not just this planet. The special, and they are from millions of years back, from different planets, from different kalpa of Brahmaji also. Can you imagine? So what we can't perceive any time, so those historical facts are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. But what is the special significance of these historical facts? The special significance of this history is that they are all connected with the activities of the Lord in a different time and atmosphere, right? So everything is in connection with the Supreme Lord. Okay, we go to text 42. Sātu samshravayamas Maharajam parikshitam prayopavishtam gangayam paritam paramarshibhi.
Shukdev Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, in his turn delivered the Bhagavatam to the great emperor Parikshit, who sat surrounded by the sages on the bank of Gangas, awaiting death without taking food or drink.
Okay, so now Shukdev Goswami, Vyasadev made Shukdev accept Srimad Bhagavatam, Grahyamasa. And then Shukdev Goswami, Satu Samshrayavayamasa, he made Parikshit Maharaj here. He made Parikshit Maharaj here. Maharajam Parikshitam. If you see, Tad Idam Grahyamasa, in both the cases it said, Vyasadev made Shukdev Goswami here. Or accept. Shukdev Goswami made Parikshit Maharaj Samshrayavam. Right? Asa. It's not written that Shukdev Goswami heard. Rather, Vyasadev made him here. Shukdev Goswami made Parikshit Maharaj here, Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? It's not that he sat down and heard. It's not mentioned in that way. The meaning, the way the verse is composed, it is that Shukadev Goswami made Parikshit Maharaj here. Vyasadev made Shukadev Goswami here. Right? That it is showing that how the mercy is flowing down. Right? So they were suitable candidate. Therefore, they became the suitable recipient to receive the mercy, to receive the Bhagavatam which is flowing down. Right? So this is how like the disciplic succession flowing down has been indicated. So that's what Prabhupada points out in the purport. All transcendental messages are received properly in the chain of disciplic succession. This disciplic succession is called parampara. Right? So you see, Parikshit Maharaj, by his great qualification, he encouraged Shukdev Goswami so much that he could give himself fully. Right? Like that. We'll see at many times. So therefore he made Shukdev Goswami here. The Srimad Bhagavatam. The last few lines of the first paragraph. One should therefore receive the message of Bhagavatam from Sut Goswami or from his representative and not from any irrelevant interpreter. And further, Prabhupada, second paragraph, fourth line, he says, Shripad Shankaracharya admitted that what he has preached in the flowery grammatical interpretation of the Vedanta Sutra cannot help one at the time of death. So therefore one has to receive Srimad Bhagavatam in this way from a right source. There is a Sanatana Goswami's verse which says one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a Vaishnava. Anyone knows that verse? Avaishnam mukhod girinam puto harikatham ritam shrotum naiv kartavyam sarpo chishtha yatha payaha. So So Srimad Bhagavatam or Harikatha is like milk. But Avaishnava Mukhod Giranam, one should not hear it from Avaishnava. Why? Because it becomes like a milk touched by lips of a serpent. Therefore, one should be careful. Sometime it happens, even some devotees, they want to understand, Srimad Bhagavatam. They hear some professional reciter describes it very, with lot of, jokes, with lot of masala, with lot of, and so on. Right? And we may try to search out more and more titillating to the senses. Sometimes we want to hear explanation which are very titillating to our mind and senses, and so on. So, but one should be very careful that the opposite may take effect, the opposite may happen. Right? So one has to be very careful not to just go out searching, some new jokes, new stories. This tendency comes sometimes. Right? We want to hear here, there, from everywhere. Right? Of some internet, we may just, some famous speakers, we try to download and hear what do they say, and get some new, concepts, jokes, and some new stories, and so on. And right, so therefore, it's an important warning. One may actually be poisoned by that. And Prabhupada writes in one place, if one hears, suppose you are just trying to hear there, and if you hear Mayavad interpretation sometimes, Prabhupada, if one hears Mayavad, if one hears from a Mayavadi, it may take millions of years to come back again to the point of devotional service. You may be lost for millions of years. Right? So the poison can be so strong also. The fact, Prabhupada writes that, when he is from a Mayavadi, one may be so contaminated, the heart may be so polluted, it may take millions of years before we again come back to the platform of devotional service. So it's a serious warning. So therefore, here from what Prabhupada explained, what Vishnu Jagdi Thakur, Sridhar Swami, right? Vishnu Acharya has explained. One should try to study and absorb one's mind. Krishna so dhamo bhagate dharma jnanaadi bisaha kalo nashta dishamesha puranarko dunoditaha.
This Bhagavat Puran is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana.
Okay, so again, this is the verse, the answer to the question. Sixth. What is the sixth question? 1123. Remember the question? Sorry. One person. Yes. What is the question? Six. Where did the religion take shelter? Bruhi Yogeshware Krishne Brahmanya Dharma Varmani Swam Kashtam Udunopete Dharma Kam Sharanam Kataha. Basically, if you just even remember, Dharma Kam Sharanam Kataha. When Krishna went to his own abode, where did the Dharma took shelter of? So the question is the last question in the first chapter, 23rd, 1123. Bruhi Yogeshware Krishne Brahmanya Dharma Varmani. So dharma kam sharanam gata, where has the religion taken shelter of? So again, see the in the answer, Krishna so dhamo pagate. Dharma jnanaadi bisaha kalo nashta dishamesha puranaduko adunodita. So there will be certain words common between question and answer. Right? You will be able to connect, relate the two. If you see how the question is formed and how the answer is given. So after Krishna went to his own abode, so dhamo pagate dharma jnanaadi bisaha kalo nashta dishamesha puranarko. Therefore dharma has taken shelter of this Srimad Bhagavatam. You must take a shelter of this Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is also a very important verse. So Krishna was the shelter of dharma and jnana. And that's what been said in the question also. Brahmanya dharma varmani. Bruhi Yogeshware Krishna Brahmanya dharma varmani. And when he went to his abode, where the region taking shelter of Krishna Sodham Upagade, after he went to his abode. So if you see the construction of question and answer is quite related to each other. So this Bhagavatam Puran has risen like a brilliant sun, and those who take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam will find the shelter of Krishna. Right? So they will be able to find the true light, the true direction in this age of darkness. Kalo nasht drishamesha. People have no clear vision in this age. Nashta drishamesha. They have no spiritual vision. Right? What exactly, what is their spiritual duty and so on. So sometimes we say Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and confusion. Right? And especially in the age of internet, everyone is saying whatever he feels like. Right? So many opinions and so on. Right? So quarrel and confusion. There is a quarrel and there is widespread confusion. So Kalo Nashta Dishamesha. No, therefore, if one has to ascertain the true principle of religion, one has to study Srimad Bhagavatam, take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is an important verse again. You should try to memorize this verse also. So, in the chart, in your Subodhini, if you see the chart at the end of third chapter, so you can add this verse. I don't know whether it is printed in your, in my book it is not. Answer to question 6 is given. 1.7.12 to 1.19. Right? So you can write over there 1.3.43 is the answer to this question also. And further the answer is expanded, of course. Right? Dharma kam shramgata Srimad Bhagavatam. So the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to this question in one sense. Right? But here the specific answer is being given. And do you have that written? 1.3.43? In the chart on page number 42 of your Subodhini, page number 42, you can add. And then question 2 in the chart, a sense of all scriptures and ultimate good devotional service, and there also you can add 1341. Oh, sorry, 41 and 42. 40 and 41, Bhagavatam, 40 and 41. Right? Saram, Saram, Samudritam. This is the essence. So verse 40 and 41 are also answering a sense of all scriptures. Bhakti or Srimad Bhagavatam. Fine, so Prabhupada writes in the purport to 43, that this is say a 10th or 11th line of the purport. Except for God, no one can establish the principle of religion. Either he or a suitable person empowered by him can dictate the course of religion. Real religion means to know God, our relationship with him, and our duties in relationship, and to know ultimately our destination. What does that mean? Real religion means to know God, our relationship with him, our duties in relation with him, and to know ultimately our destination. What does that mean? Sambandh abhideya prayojan. Right. Right. Our relationship, sambandh, our duties, abhideya, ultimately our destination, prayojan. So therefore, also you should understand that Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva Prant, Sab Shikhaila Prabhu, Bhagavat Siddhant. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva. To whom? Rupa Goswami and also Sanatana Goswami. Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva Prant, Sab Shikhaila Prabhu, Bhagavat Siddhant. Entire Bhagavatam Siddhant was taught by Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami by teaching Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva. What are these tattvas? संबंध विधेय प्रयोजन, कृष्ण तत्व इज संबंध, भक्ति तत्व इज अभिधेय, रस तत्व इज प्रयोजन तत्व. सो देयरफॉर श्रीमद् भागवतम शुड बी स्टडीड इन टर्म्स ऑफ संबंध अभिधेय प्रयोजन. दैट इज ऑल्सो द यूनिक कॉन्ट्रीब्यूशन ऑफ चैतन्य महाप्रभु. दिस हाउ चैतन्य महाप्रभु टॉट संबंध अभिधेय प्रयोजन. श्रीमद् भागवतम शुड बी अंडरस्टूड इन दैट टर्म. Okay, so then Prabhupada further writes in the maybe 12th last line from the end. This is, Prabhupada says, so Lord Krishna, he appeared just before Kali Yuga and then he returned to the eternal home at the commencement of Kali Yuga. While he was present, he exhibited everything by his different activities. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita specially and eradicated all pretentious principle of religiosity. And prior to his departure from this material world, he empowered Sri Vyasadeva through Narada to compile the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And thus both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are like torch bearers for the blind people of this age. See such a beautiful statement. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are like torch bearers for the blind people of this age. He's going to show the light to everyone. Kalo nashta dishamesha. Puranarko dhanodita. These two scriptures are like the torch bearers. Further Prabhupada writes, two, three lines ahead, Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of life. Lord Sri Krishna personified. Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of life. Lord Sri Krishna personified. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as a direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can also see Lord Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna in person. Right? Very powerful statements. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can also see Lord Sri Krishna in person. They are identical. Therefore, you have to approach Srimad Bhagavatam as you are approaching person Krishna. Right? With great respect, in a great reverential mood, a mood of humility, mood of surrender, mood of servant. Right? Remember that.
Tatra kirtayato vipra विप्रशेर भूरि तेजसः अहम् चाध्यागमम् तत्र निविष्टस्तदनुग्रहात् सोऽहम् वा श्रावयिष्यामि यथाधीतम् यथामति.
ओ लर्न ब्राह्मणास, व्हेन शुकदेव गोस्वामी रिसाइटेड भागवतम देयर ब्रैकेट इन द प्रेजेंस ऑफ द एम्परर परीक्षित आई हर्ड हिम विथ रैप्ट अटेंशन. And thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it.
Okay, so, Tatra Kirtayato Vipra. So there, right, he told Shukadeva Goswami, made Maharaj Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatra Kirtayato Vipra. While he was residing, Viprasher Bhuri Tejasa, that great powerful sage, Sukadeva Goswami. So that Vipra, Tatra Kirtayato Vipra, O Brahmanas. I heard it when it was recited by Viprasher, that Bhuri Tejasa, that great powerful Brahma Rishi, right? Vipra Rishi. Aham cha adhyagamam tatra. There I studied in that assembly. Nivishtas tad anugrahat. How did I study? I could absorb myself in that study. Nivishtas, And I was discussing with you how you have to try to absorb yourself in the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sut Goswami is saying, Nivishtas tad anugrahat. By his mercy, I could absorb myself in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Grahyam Asa, he made him study. Therefore, by his explanations, by his purity, Sukhdev Goswami could make everyone be absorbed in the study. Therefore, he is there, Sut Goswami saying, Nivishtas tad anugrahat. I could absorb myself. I could hear with rapt attention by his mercy. Soham va shravayishyami. So now I will make you all hear Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll recite the same Srimad Bhagavatam. Yatha dhitam yatha mati. As I could realize it. Yatha dhitam yatha mati. As far as my intelligence allowed, by his mercy and by own capacity, right? Both the things. There is the mercy of a person, right? Mercy of a spiritual master, mercy of the Supreme Lord, and our capacity, right? So we should, therefore, whatever I could realize by his mercy and as per my capacity, I will speak that to you. But of course, mercy can help us go beyond our capacity also. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhede girim. What is the capacity of a dumb man? Can he speak? But he can become orator. So therefore, the mercy is the main thing. It can help us overcome our limitation also. So again, this is very beautiful verse wherein he says that how I received and now I will speak that to you all. So therefore, he decides, he's already answered the 6 questions briefly, but in order to elaborate the answers, right? What is the ultimate good? What is the sense of all scriptures? Then 3 questions are about all of the avataras, purpose of Krishna's appearance, Leela avataras, Purusha avataras, and where has the religion taken shelter of? The 6 questions. Answer to all 6 questions, I will expand in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, details. Therefore, I will speak that Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Prabhupada again very beautifully writes, that how one has to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in an absorbed way with great attention. So if you see the 10th or 11th last line of the purport, simple hearing is not all, right? Just hearing. Simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. Nivishtas, right? Prabhupada is talking, commenting on the word nivishtas. The word nivishta means that Sut Goswami drank the juice through his ears. Sometimes people say, iskon. Right? Iskon, there are so many things. Iskan, uskan. Right? Iskan se suno, uskan se nikal do. Right? That's okay for all the gossip and other things. But iskan means this ear. Right? In Hindi, kan means ear. So iskon, andar jana chahiye. It should not go out from the other. It has to go within to the heart. So therefore he drank. He said this ears are like cup, you know, cup. And these ears have actually, they're always empty. No matter how much you pour in the ears, they're never filled. Right? They just, Shrutavya Adini Narajendra, Nam Sahanti Sahasrasa. People daily, you know, talk of ear magazines, so many things, right? Cup remain empty, heart remain dissatisfied. Right? So this ear is like a cup shape. One has to pour the nectar of Krishna Katha. Then both the ears and the heart will experience fulfillment and satisfaction. Chaitanya charitriyai amritera sindhu karna mana tripta kare yar ek bindu. Even one drop of the Lord's nectarian pastime can satisfy karna and man. The ears and the heart, right? They are linked together. Therefore, one has to drink this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam through the ears. They're like the cups. One can go on drinking. And one should increase one's appetite. As one drinks, the appetite will increase actually. As you drink, go on drinking, the appetite of the ears will go on increasing. It should go on increasing. So simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word Nivishta means Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so Prabhupada gives three. What is the real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam? It's quite a beautiful purport. Real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. Real process. Prabhupada gives 3R formula. 3R. First is one should hear from the real person. Right? Not a professional reciter, not a Mayavadi, not just to make a word jugglery and so on. First R is one should hear from the real person. Prabhupada says, whatever word I have taken is from purport directly. One should hear from the real person. One should hear with rapt attention, and then one should realize it. Yatha dhitam, yatha mati. That is the real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. One should realize it. How one can realize it? By contemplating upon it. Yatha dhitam, yatha mati. Whatever intelligence one has, one should try to best utilize. Try to contemplate upon it and try to realize it. So these three Prabhupada gives. These three are approach as a real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. One should hear from the real person. One should hear with rapt attention. And one should realize the presence of Krishna in every page. That's what Prabhupada writes. One should realize the presence of Krishna in every page. So that's how the secret of knowing Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned here. Okay, so these three are also mentioned in the verse, if you see. One should hear from the real person. Real person is indicated as Viprirshir. Sukadeva Goswami was a real person. Rapt attention is indicated in the word Nivishtas. Rapt attention. And thus he could realize, that is indicated, yathadhitam, as I have realized. Yathadhitam is realized. So these three are there in the verse itself, which Prabhupada brings out very nicely. Okay, so now we go to chapter 4. One wants to ask anything related to what we have discussed just now, or wants to share anything which you may have read or heard. Yes, Anantraga Prabhu.
What is actually the background? Here we heard that Shukadeva Goswami compiled the Bhagavatam and then
Vyasadeva compiled.
Vyasadeva compiled and then he gave it to his son. Yeah. So, of course, now in future we'll come to know about it. But what's exactly the storyline where first he's dissatisfied and then he composes?
That is all coming in the chapters now we are studying.
Okay.
The entire background is given in the chapters over here.
Okay.
How he divided, how he began the whole thing. Hmm. We'll study today only. The answer is there in the chapter 4. Yes, Prabhu. Please remind me your name. Vishvesh.
Prabhu, in this Ete Cham Shakala Pumsa, in that verse it is mentioned as Indrari, but Prabhupada doesn't translate that Indra, he translated Athist. So Indra is mentioned, and in a word-to-word translation also Prabhupada said as to protect the Indra.
Yeah, then Indra is not mentioned. So in general, that is okay. In general, the devatas are the devata are considered the definition of in general, devatas are those who are loyal to Supreme Lord. And those who are opposite, they are atheists. So a broad category is made. Right? So the devatas, even they have desire to enjoy, but they do it in, they are faithful to Krishna. So the devas or devatas word in general connotes with those who are obedient to Vishnu, those who are atheists. And the demons are atheists. Right? So Indrari means the demons, devatas means the atheists, the devotees. So this is just a general connotation. You don't have to worry about right? The exact. As I said, don't always go by the word of the law, see the spirit of the law. That principle you should understand. Right? So Indrari are all atheists. And devatas headed by Indra, they are all atheists, devotees. Yes. Okay, yes. If you have something, you can... Okay, yeah, hold it.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, yesterday you told that in the verse 4, you will give a detailed explanation that devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form.
Yeah.
With thousands of legs.
Who has thousands of eyes, thousands of hands, and so on.
Yeah, so what does devotee actually see with their perfect eyes?
Okay. So, text 4. Okay, I will give a brief explanation of text 4 once again. You can open text 4, 1, 3, 4. So, this verse is describing Pashyantu. Ado rupam adbra chakshusha sahasrapadoru bhujanana adbhutam. The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purusha who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms and faces, all extraordinary. So I also discussed with Balram Shakti Prabhu, who has done a deep study of universal form of the Lord. And so devotees with their perfect eye, they can see, one needs a perfect eye to see the spiritual form of the Lord. Premanjana, Shurita Bhakti Vilochanena, right? Brahmaji also said. So, now the Purusha has been described as having thousands of legs, thighs, arms, faces. This is because this Purusha has this Virat Roop. Virat Roop is his expansion. Universe is like his expansion. But this is not eternal. This is not his sarupa. Right? Therefore, it is considered as imaginary, as I said yesterday. Fine? So therefore, they don't see like with their transcendental perfect eyes the Virat Rupa. That is not the meaning. They see the Supreme Lord as he reveals himself, who is described as having thousands of legs and so on, because Virat Rupa is his feature. Because Virat Rupa is one of his features. have you got it? Therefore, sometimes the transcendental form of the Lord, when it is glorified, it may be said that certain attributes may be attached to him, which are that of universal form. Okay? But the devotees will see with their perfect transcendental vision the spiritual form. It's not mentioned. Of the Supreme Lord, who has this universal form also. Fine. So therefore remember, what does the word imaginary means? Imaginary doesn't mean illusory or something. Even this body is considered as sometime, or our life existence, samsara, is considered as imaginary, illusory. Why? Because it's all very temporary. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. It's not factual. It's like a dreamlike existence, as we shall study. Therefore it's considered as imaginary. Our true existence is spiritual existence. Right? So imaginary in that sense. Imaginary in that sense. So the right understanding has to be understood. Yes. Yeah.
So this body is real just because it is temporary. That's why
Sorry?
We say...
Yeah, this is world real. Is real because of made of real energy. Imaginary or illusory because it is temporary.
Okay.
It has no permanent existence. That is the meaning of the word illusory or imaginary, whenever we use that, it is bhutva bhutva praliyate, no permanent existence. Yes.
And when in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna saw the universal form, so he saw the material form of Krishna.
Yes.
And before that, he was seeing the transcendental form of Krishna.
Yeah, at the same time, he was seeing the transcendental form of Krishna.
Okay.
Yes.
And when Krishna is friend of, when Arjuna is friend of Krishna, when they speak, then Arjuna is seeing the transcendental form. Okay.
Yeah. So, again, I just want to say, sometimes the word transcendental is used that which is beyond us. It may not, sometimes you may find this universal form may be described as transcendental form. Krishna says, you need transcendental eyes to see this form. Right? So, the word, the transcendental may not mean purely spiritual. Remember, transcendental word. Transcendental may mean that which is beyond you at this stage to see by the ordinary eyes. Therefore, you need special vision. That is one meaning of transcendental. Secondly, it ultimately, meditating, one go on meditating on Virat Rupa, this gives transcendental effect. It helps a sadhaka, neophyte, to transcend. Therefore, its effect will be transcendental. Getting the point? So, therefore, because of this reason, the form Virat Rupa may be sometimes described as a transcendental form, or one need transcendental eyes. But doesn't mean it's completely spiritual. That word transcendental is not connoting Sachidanand form. That is also clear? So I think that is like good enough for you to understand at this stage. Yes. Yeah. So Krishna has no material duty to perform, inactive. Right? So that Krishna has no material duty to perform in general, right? So it's in the sense of within the material realm, all his energies work, but he doesn't act. The material nature acts. Right? So that way. Ajanmasya. So it's all referred to that it all the negation negates everything material. There is no material birth, there is no material activities. Right? Whenever there is a negation, it is a negation of material aspect, right? But not negation of the spiritual. Similar to Nirgun. Okay, we go to chapter 4, the appearance of Sri Narada. Vyasa Uvacha Iti Bruvanam Samstuya Muninam Dirgasatrinam Vriddha Kulapati Sutam Bhavrisha Shaunako Bravit.
One hearing Sutta Goswami speak thus, Shaunak Muni, who was the elderly learned leader of all the rishis, engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Sutta Goswami by addressing him as follows.
Okay, so now Vyasadeva is saying that on hearing Sut Goswami speak thus, Shaunak Muni, who was elderly learned leader of the rishis, engaged in the prolonged sacrificial ceremony. Okay, I just want to say one thing. Vyasadeva spoke to Shukdev Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit. There, Sudha Goswami also heard. Now he is speaking to Shaunak Adi Rishi. And here it is written, Vyas Uvacha. Vyas is saying, Shaunak, who was the elderly leader of the Rishis, engaged in Prangalot sacrificial ceremony. And you may say, what has happened? How is Vyas saying that Sudha Goswami is speaking? Vyas is writing, Sudha Goswami is speaking to Shaunak Adi Rishis. How is that? you didn't pay attention. Who is speaking? Vyasu Vacha. What is Vyas? Now Vyas has gone back in time. Right? This happened much later, right? After Vyas compiled. And now Vyasadev is referring Sut Goswami, or Shaunak is now congratulating Sut Goswami. Vyas is describing that. How is that? It was? Okay, so you are saying Vyasadeva wrote it later. Vyasadeva wrote it later after the Sut Goswami described. Well, that usually that is not the understanding. Therefore, one logical explanation given for this is these few verses in the Bhagavatam, these connecting verses, has been inserted by the disciples of Vyasadeva later on his name, because he is the main author. Right? On his name, they later added certain verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So, there are these connecting verses. Okay, so if you see, also interesting fact is Shukadev Goswami begins speaking from Canto 2. There is no Shuka Uvacha whole Canto 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha, right? Shri Shuka Uvacha. There is no Shri Shuka Uvacha word in the entire first canto. Shri Shuka Uvacha begins with second canto. But the first canto is so important of the Bhagavatam, spoken by Sut Goswami, his realizations. So therefore, that has been included. It is a part of the Bhagavatam. Getting the point? So therefore, that has been included as an integral part. So, but one may say, but Srimad Bhagavatam is eternal. Have you heard that? Srimad Bhagavatam is eternal. How is that? Sut Goswami, Vyasadeva compiled this scripture which is eternal. Shukadev Goswami, then Sut Goswami speaking. That has also been included. Shukadev Goswami only spoke 11 cantos, 2 to 12. First canto is by Sut Goswami. But that has also been included. Its knowledge is eternal also. Right? So, therefore, you understand, again, we don't have to always go by the word of the law, right? The spirit of the law. This Bhagavat, the Tattva of the Bhagavat is eternal. But Shukadev, what Vyasadev taught Shukadev Goswami, Shukadev Goswami spoke with his realization, enriched with his realizations. Getting the point? It was further enriched by Sut Goswami, right? He assimilated with his realizations. All that is included, the same Tattva. So the Tattva of the Bhagavad, Shri Bhagavat Tattva Rasa, that is eternal. But the form which we are getting is what now has been spoken by Sut Goswami. So it is further enriched by realization of Shukadev Goswami, realization of Sut Goswami. Right? Like that. And Vyasu Vacha, because Vyas is the original compiler. So on his name, certain verses have been, connecting verses have been added. That's the understanding we get. Yes.
So Vyasa was speaking to Shukadev.
Yeah.
And Shukadev was from Parikshit.
Yes.
And then now Sutta Goswami is
speaking to Shaunaka.
But it is written like Vyasa.
It is written by Vyasa. So certain things have been added. This section have been, what Vyasadev compiled was a certain part. But the form which we have, which have been further, you know, enriched with the realization, what we have the Bhagavatam is what spoken by Sut Goswami. That form of Srimad Bhagavatam. again, you know, sometimes it becomes difficult to reconcile the numbers spoken, you know, whether they're 18,000. If you actually count the number of verses, they come close to like 14,000 somewhere. If you actually physically count the number of verses, they're not 18,000. Still, after Shukdev Goswami's and Sut Goswami's, you know. So, it becomes sometimes difficult to reconcile the figures and so on. Because there are some technicalities involved over there. Right? So, it said that some people say that verse has to be counted as 20 syllables. One verse has to be counted at X number of syllables. That is one verse. But there are certain verses which are more. So, therefore, you have to count the number of syllables and then divide it by this figure and then you get and so on. So, there are technicalities involved. Technicalities involved in those explanations. But we don't have to kind of worry about that. But we understand that how the Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken to us is what Vyasadev spoke, further enriched by Sukadeva Goswami, enriched by Sut Goswami. That is the version which we have. And Vyasadev is considered the original author. He gets the original text. Therefore, Vyasuvacha only. Vyasuvacha here only. He is the original author. All credit goes to him for Srimad Bhagavatam as such. Okay, iti bruvanam samstuya muninam dirga satrinam. So now Shaunak is congratulating. And Prabhupada says, a person, suppose there is a person, there is a meeting, and someone speaks, who should congratulate? Right? There is some meeting, who should congratulate? That person has to have some adhikar, some qualification. If a person is to congratulate, should have some qualification. You invite some great, sannyasi to speak, to give seminars, and someone should congratulate. So the person, the leader amongst the members should congratulate. Getting the point? If there is a temple president, he should congratulate. If he is not personally president, then the next to him should congratulate. Therefore, Vriddha, a senior person should congratulate. The Vriddha word is used. Kulapati, the leader of the assembly, should congratulate. So Shaunak had all this qualification. He is the most elder. He is the leader of the assembly. Bhavrisha, person who is the knowledge. If he has to congratulate, he should have heard it, assimilated it. Right? So therefore, these are the qualifications of even a person who wants to congratulate has to have some qualification. Okay, so why is he congratulating? Why is congratulating? Because he became so enlivened to hear that I will present what I heard from the great Viprasher Bhuri Tejasa. Saham va shravishyami. I will present that. Yatha dhitam yatha mati. I will make you hear what heard from the great sage. So because he established the parampara, it's actually a great credit. Suppose you, nowadays, you know, so many seminars happen. This person goes to the seminar and he says, okay, so I will present to you what I heard from other fellow. He said, isko kyun bulaya? Usi ko bulate the hum log. If you can't present anything original, right? So as soon as you say, I will present spoken somebody else by somebody previously, it disqualifies you in the modern times. You say, this is my own creation. Oh, wonderful. Right? This is something unique I have invented. So in this modern times, it's a disqualification to say, I am presenting something which I heard from somebody. No one will say that, right? To bring discredit to his presentation. But it's a great credit in the spiritual circle. If you can say, okay, I am presenting what I heard from this and this person who is very advanced in Krishna Bhakti, who is very learned. It is great qualification. Therefore, Shaunak Adi Rishi is congratulating. Great. You want to present what he heard from the great powerful sage Shukadeva Goswami. Amazing. Right? They are enlivened to hear that. The parampara. It is not so in the modernary, in the modern sense, in the modern day-to-day context. So, but I will present as I have assimilated and I have realized. As I have realized. Again, one should be careful. What does it mean that as one have realized? Yatha dhitam, yatha mati. I will present according to my realization. So, very important. 4 points. If someone says, I'm going to present as per my realization, each person needs to do that. Need to assimilate and present according to his realization. What does that mean? According to his realization? First, Prabhupada says what it doesn't mean. My realization. Personal realization. Do you see that line? This is the sixth line of the purport, seventh line. Personal realization doesn't mean one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharyas. First of all, one should not have any arrogance that I have found something new, something great which others could not. My presentation is the most effective, superior to anyone has made till now. One should not have any pride, conceit, and so on. That is not realization. Then what does realization mean? First point, you must have full confidence in the previous acharyas. One should not point fault. Who did that? Vallabha Bhatta. He said, I don't accept Sridhar Swami. I have seen there are many faults in his commentaries. Mahaprabhu said, one who doesn't accept Swami, he is a prostitute. Mahaprabhu immediately answered, and there was complete silence. His mouth was completely shut. Right? One who doesn't accept Swami is a prostitute. That was Mahaprabhu's answer. Right? Swami na mani le tare vaishya kari jani. That's what Mahaprabhu replied. So, one has to have full faith in the previous acharyas, that only by their mercy I am able to understand and present. That is the first part, point one of realization. But at the same time, he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. That is the point two. He should not just repeat as it is, like a parrot-like. He should see who are the audience, what is their capacity to understand. If they are doctors, he should speak in terms of, give some example, analogies in terms of medical science. They are engineers or some children, one should tell some simple stories to connote the same point, to convey the same point. Therefore, one has to present suitable to the audience, suitable to the circumstances. That is the question, meaning of realization, second point. Third, original purpose of the text must be maintained. The central message should not be distorted. Right? One can use some other examples, analogies, but the original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it. That is in continuation of the third point. Fourthly, it should be presented in an interesting manner. One should try to make it interesting. So, again, the same thing. How do you make it interesting? As per the audience, as per the day and time, use the right examples, analogies, right? Learn to, it's art, basically. It's a little bit art to be learned. How to make it interesting? So it will kindle person's interest to hear, right? So therefore, this is the four points in the realization. What is that? Can anyone? Yeah, see all, speak all the four without looking at your book. Yes, from your memory. One should not have arrogance. Yes, arrogance or any kind of pride. Fine, good. Second point. Yes, yes. Of the original text, original purpose, original text should be maintained. Then, interesting. We should make it interesting. Okay? Make it interesting. So that means, that is the meaning of personal realization. Yatha dhitam yatha mati. Again, you see how so beautifully Prabhupada is giving the purports filled with so many realization of his own. Okay, so therefore we will have a Bhagatam which is further enriched with realization of Prabhupada. Okay? It becomes further and further nourishing, further and further sweet. And that is actually our main nourishment. Exactly our main nourishment. Shaunaka uvacha Suta Suta Mahabhaga Vadano Vadatambara Katham Bhagavatim Punyam Yadaha Bhagavan Shukha.
Shaunaka said, O Suta Goswami, you are the most fortunate and respected of the all those who can speak and recite. Please relate the pious message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by the great and powerful sage Sukhdev Goswami.
Right? So, in great joy, Shaunaka is saying, Suta Suta Mahabhaga, right? Twice the name is, when you are like, when the emotion is, some emotion is high, right? Then you're trying to repeat, right? Something, right? Jaya, jaya, like that. Right? Huh? What is it? Hari, hari, like that, right? So therefore, he is joyful to hear that Suta Goswami is going to present, right, the great message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Suta Suta Mahabhaga, right? Vadano Vadatamvara, please speak this great message. Katham Bhagavatim Punyam, speak this Bhagavat, Bhagavat Katha, which is Punyam. Punyam here refers to transcendental piety. One is a material piety, one is transcendental piety. Transcendental piety is which gives rise to devotional service. Ordinary piety doesn't give rise to devotional service of the Lord. So if someone accepts prasad, hear the holy name, that is all transcendental piety. So Sukriti, again the two things are Sukriti, transcendental piety. Even there could be some material Sukriti also. Right? So it's a both aspects. The piety has both aspects. With material piety, by giving some charity here, there and so on, going to, you know, some philanthropic works, one does some good work and so on. Material piety one can gain. But activities which are connected to devotional service, they give transcendental piety. And of course, the Bhagavatam Katham is like the highest transcendental piety. Right? It connects you to Krishna immediately. So please narrate this Katham Bhagavatim Punyam Yadaha Bhagavan Shukha. Right? And Prabhupada also writes, Suta Goswami is twice addressed herein by Shaunak Goswami out of great joy. Right? Again, Prabhupada cautions that either in the fifth line, that generally the so-called Bhagavatam reciters are either professional reciters or so-called learned impersonalists. One should not hear Bhagavatam from them, in Prabhupada cautions. So therefore, Suta Suta Mahabhaga, you are Mahabhaga because you heard from Sukhdev Goswami. We will become greatly fortunate by hearing from you. That Bhagat, Mahabhaga, that good fortune we will also gain. Right? And therefore Prabhupada is telling, however, if one hears from impersonalist or professional reciter, then he becomes Abhaga, devoid of all good fortune. So there is no good fortune in hearing from professional reciters or learned impersonalists. Therefore Prabhupada gives a contrast of Mahabhaga and Abhaga, a Bhaga person, derived of all good fortune. Text 3. Kasmin yuge pravritteyam sthane vakena hetuna kutah sanjojita krishna kritavan sammitam munihi.
In what period and at what place was this first begin, and why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dwapayan Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature?
Okay, so same question as Antaraga Prabhu's. Right? the Shaunagadi Rishis are asking. Please tell us. So now they ask three further questions. Or I would say, don't go exactly on, there could be like sub question within a question. But broadly there are three questions. First is about history and author for Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? What is the history? Who is the author? How did he take it up? And so on. For Srimad Bhagavatam. Second question is about the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. First is about the compiler. How did he come to compile? Second is about the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Third is about the hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam. So they are asking question. These are basically three questions. Three category of questions. Or broadly three questions we can say. Because if you see, within this he is asking in what period it began, why was it taken up. So there can be question mark everywhere. But it's like one question which could have many parts. Subparts. So broadly three questions. Tell us about the compiler, history, how did he get the inspiration? Tell us about the speaker, how did he stay at a particular place for a long time? He would only stay for a very short duration. How he was recognized by others? All about the speaker. And third question is all about the hearer. Compiler, speaker and hearer. These three questions are asked. So let's go ahead. Tasya putro mahayogi. Samudrin nirvikalpakah ekantamatir unnidro gudo mooda ivyate.
His Vyasadeva's son was a great devotee, an equibalanced monist, whose mind was always concentrated in monism. He was transcendental to mundane activities, but being unexposed, he appeared like an ignorant person.
Now they are talking of Shukadeva Goswami. So you see the qualities of Shukadeva Goswami are pointed out in this text. What are his qualities? He is a Mahayogi first of all. A great devotee or a great yogi. Samudrin, he had equal vision. Nirvikalpaka, he was fixed in the Brahman realization. Ekantamatir, his attention was fixed at one point. On his goal, which is Brahman. Unnidro, he had conquered all ignorance. Gudho mood ivyate, he appeared like an ignorant person externally. So there are some of the qualities of Shukadeva Goswami described by Shaunagadi Rishi. Okay, so Prabhupada in the purport, he gives again a beautiful contrast between Mahayogi and Mahabhogi. Mahayogi is one who is always alert to spiritual realization. Point number one. Right? So, and who is Mahabhogi? Mahabhogi means great, those who are absorbed in, those who just want to enjoy the material world. Mahabhogi is always alert to sense enjoyment. He's always alert how he can enjoy, exploit. Point two is Mahayogi is indifferent to matter. And a person who is Mahabhogi, he is absorbed in matter. That is briefly the subject matter of the purport. Monism. Monoism. Everything is that one Brahman. Right? Those who consider the... So primarily the Brahmavadis are referred by monistic, right? Brahman. Everything is Brahman. One. Mono means one. That way. So that's the generic understanding of monism.
There is a class of people who say a living entity and God is also one. That
yeah,
category
becomes,
is called.
They becomes a well. Again, everything is one. Now we have to see in detail in general. Why? Because Krishna says, everything is his energy. Therefore, everything is identical, one with him. From that perspective, right? So that is one perspective. So the living entities being part and parcel, they are one with the Lord. But also they are different. So therefore one has to understand the difference also. Right? So if the oneness is emphasized without imposing any material conception of the Lord, if the Lord's form is not denied as Maya and so on, when a person says that whatever the Lord form when he comes and so on, it is Maya, material. As soon as there is a material conception, they become Mayavadis, different from Brahmavadis. Right? So the Brahmavadi may have everything is one, everything is coming from Brahman. Right? So that is not an offensive conception, that is a limited conception of the Lord. So there is a difference between the two. And so the living entity and everything else manifested is one with the Lord, being his energy. So we don't deny that. We don't deny that. But one has to understand the difference also. What's the difference also? Why? Because there is no anand in the conception of oneness. That is the Brahman conception only. So Brahman feature is there of the Lord, but only when there are two, then rasa can be exchanged, then service can be exchanged. Then there is a relationship. Relationship has to be between the two, right? There cannot be relationship between one. If everything is one, where is the relationship? So therefore the conception of that the Lord living entity is also separate, the bhakti has to have that understanding and so on. So monistic conception of here Sukadev Goswami, which he was fixed in, that was not like a Mayavadi conception. That was, he had the Brahman realization that everything is expanded from the Lord's energy. Everything is situated in him. Brahman conception, that is the oneness conception. Fine? But monism, when it is, as I said, when it is, it may go to the offensive, it may cross the offensive line, they become Mayavadis. Okay. So, yes. Anyone was saying anything? Yeah, we go ahead. Or probably you can take 10 minutes break and we'll continue. This chapter is small chapter. We should be able to cover it today. It's not a big chapter. There's not much philosophy and so on. Right? So we'll take 10 minutes break. Next hour we'll complete this chapter. From verse 3 to 12, these three categories of questions are asked. Right? From verse 3 to 12. So a number of verses, but there are these three basic questions which are described. Text 5. Dushtvanujantam rishimatmajam appenangam Devyo hriya parita durna sutasya chitram Tadviksha prichyati munau jagadustavasti Stripum bhidanata sutasya vivikta drishte Vishta drishte.
While Sri Vyasadev was following his son, beautiful young damsels who were bathing naked covered their bodies with cloth. Although Sri Vyasadev himself was not naked, but they had not done so when his son had passed. The sage inquired about this, and the young ladies replied that his son was purified, and when looking at them made no distinction between male and female, but the sage made such distinctions.
Okay, so they are describing an incident which they had heard to show that how Sukadev Goswami was nirvikalpaka, fixed in Brahman realization. He was so fixed in Brahman realization, he saw everyone as Brahman or on a spiritual platform, where Krishna describes Brahman platform in Bhagavad Gita. What is the verse? Brahma bhut prasannatma na sochati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labate param. That is the platform where he attained my devotional service, right? Krishna saying. So therefore Shukadeva Goswami was at Brahma bhut platform. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu. He did not make any distinction between female and male body. Right? Stri pum bhida natusutasya vivikta drishti. So therefore, the quality of his being Brahman, fixed in Brahman realization, is being described through this one small incident, which the Shaunagridhi are quoting. Okay, so one thing is, Prabhupada points out that how Shukadeva Goswami, how his vision was, he's very innocent and also fixed in Brahman. He didn't make any distinction. The ladies who were bathing could understand the mind of Shukadeva Goswami when they look at him. Right? So Vyasadeva actually was surprised. Vyasadeva saw his son going and the ladies didn't care, they kept bathing. Right? When the Vyasadeva was going, they immediately rushed to cover their bodies. Vyasadeva said, "Hare, my son is young. And my son was also naked. I am old, wearing clothes. You are ashamed to be naked in front of me, but not in front of my young son. How is that?" So they said, "Your son doesn't make any distinction between male and female." They could understand by looking at him. So therefore, his guest Mahatma Prabhu says, actually women have been given the quality, when they look at men, they can understand whether he's a lusty person or not. But looking at a person, women can understand. So therefore, Mahatma Prabhu, he once made a statement, you know, in ISKCON taking sannyas, there are many rigid rules and regulations observed for 3 years, 4 years. He said, one can have a simple formula. One can make 5-7 beautiful ladies stand, and a sannyas candidate should be made to stand in front of them and look into each woman. And they all will certify this person, whether this person has got any lust in his heart or not. Right? So the women have been given some extraordinary ability by God. When they look at a man, they can immediately understand. So there are many Matajis in the temple. They go and tell, you know, the senior brahmachari counselors, "Hey, thoda isko dekho, sambhalo jara isko. This brahmachari. Ye thoda aisa karke tedi nazar se dekhta hai." And they are able to immediately perceive this fellow is having some desire to enjoy. Right? They are able to detect even very small desire when a person looks at women. Brahmachari, while going here, there, you know, doing service, may look at women. But they are able to perceive that if there is some desire to enjoy, there is some lust in his vision, they are very sharp to catch. So many Matajis can figure that out easily. And they have often cautioned, you know, the senior Brahmacharis about many other Brahmacharis, ki isko thoda sambhalo, right? Look at him, he is a little bit distracted, right? And so on. So, therefore, women have that ability. Right? Therefore, the ladies could understand that here is a fellow who has no conception of women or men and women, male, female. But Vyasadeva had to make that distinction. Now, Vyasadeva's vision was that of differentiation. Now, doesn't mean Vyasadeva was not like less spiritually qualified. As per his social status, he was supposed to make that distinction. But Shukadeva Goswami is like, you know, he has no family or something, he's living like a Brahmavadi, right? Monist. He didn't have any social necessity. Fine? So that's the point made over here. Both had spiritual vision. It's not that both lagged. Both Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami had spiritual vision. Shukadeva Goswami didn't make any distinction, external distinction, being fixed in Brahman realization. Vyasadeva had even higher spiritual realization in one sense. But he had to make external social distinction. That's the point being made over here. Therefore, here is a person who did not make any distinction also. He was so fixed in Brahman. Right? So he remained in that platform. He was situated as like a Paramhamsa and so on. As Prabhupada writes, in the last four lines of the purport, the perfection of this spiritual vision is the liberated stage, and Srila Sukadev Goswami attained that stage. Srila Vyasadeva was also in the transcendental stage, but because he was in the householder's life, he did not pretend to be liberated as a matter of custom, as a matter of social dealings. Text 6. Katham alakshita paure samprapta kuru jangalan unmat muka jadavad vicharan gajasavaye.
How was he, Srila Sukadev, the son of Vyasa, recognized by the citizens when he entered the city of Hastinapur, now Delhi, after wandering in the province of Kuru and Jangala, appearing like a madman, dumb and retarded?
Right. So he said, first of all, you know, how was he recognized? Usko, he was looking like unmat mook jadavad, mad fellow, dumb, stunted. Usko vyas gaddi pe bithaya kisne? Right? Kisi ko, like, you have to recognize some person, you know, and then offer a seat of vyas or something. How he was recognized as a great soul? Externally, he was just dumb man, not wearing anything. Right? In the, when he came to Hastinapur, the children were throwing stones at him. Right? Pagal, seeing some mad fellow has come, crazy fellow has come. Right? They were kind of laughing, running behind him, throwing some little stones, pebbles, and so on. How could he be recognized in the assembly? That is a valid question. Right? So Prabhupada says, okay, so Hastinapur, right, this city got its name because it was first established by King Hasti. The present city of Delhi was formerly known as Hastinapur because King Hasti established it. So, further, few lines ahead, a sage is not therefore recognized by sight, but by hearing. One should approach a sadhu or a great sage not to see, but to hear him. If one is not prepared to hear the words of a sadhu, there is no prophet. So in general, the sadhu is to be recognized by hearing from him. Right? That is his main qualification. But anyway, still the question remains, they gave him the Vyas, seat of Vyas, even before hearing. But in general, Prabhupada gives the general siddhant over here, that in this time and age, right, everyone is coming with the cameras, right? If any, even the saintly people go, people are there to click photo from here, there, right? Everyone is interested in clicking so many photos. And at the time of class, they all disperse, right? There are hardly few. But to click photo, there are many people, right, with the cameras. And there are some people who keep clipping photos only while the class is going on. They're not interested to hear what he has to say, right? They're only clicking photos from various angles and so on. It happens, we have seen that. Probably it is their service, I don't say that, but in general one should understand the siddhant that rather than clicking only photos, the main thing is to hear from a saintly person. Give oral reception. Only clicking photos or only seeing him, or some people feel, chalo, sadhu ke darshan karke aa jate hain, that's it. Aapke darshan ho gaye, ye bahut bada bhagya hai, right? We go and see him and we are kritarth. No? Even seeing a saintly person is good, right? It is beneficial, but the main profit is in hearing. Okay, so that is being, that siddhant is being described by Prabhupada herein. So therefore, the true glory of Sukadeva Goswami manifested when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. But anyway, ordinary people could not recognize him, but the sages could recognize him still.
Katham va pandaveyasya rajrisher munina saha samvadha sambhutat
Yatresha Satvati Shrutihi.
How did it so happen that King Parikshit met this great sage, making it possible for this great transcendental essence of the Vedas, Bhagavatam, to be sung to him?
Right? So he said, how did the two meet? Sukadeva Goswami is in his own world, roaming around. Maharaj Parikshit, great king. Right? No soldiers will allow him to come also nearby. Right? Here he looks like a madman. How did they meet? How did they come together? It's also an important question. And it's not that there are many great communication channels. Some mail was written, some message was sent, some call was made. Nothing like that possible. Here is a total person, Avdhut, roaming around. And there is Maharaj Parikshit. How did they come to meet? Yes.
Many times, Prabhuji, we hear that many of these professional reciters of the Bhagavatam, they quote many stories from the Shuka Samhita. Prabhupada is mentioning Shuka Samhita. So, Shuka Samhita is same as Bhagavat or there is something different?
Here, Prabhupada is saying Srimad Bhagavatam is Shuka Samhita in the purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is stated here as a sense of the Vedas. It is not an imaginary story as it is sometimes considered by unauthorized men. It is also called Shuka Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is called Shuka Samhita, or the Vedic hymn spoken by Sri Sukadeva Goswami.
Like when we hear some pastime, like we are hearing how Sukadeva Goswami met and the ladies saw. So some of the details of the pastime, then Sukadeva got this, which is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So sometimes they say it is mentioned in the Shuka Samhita.
Oh, achha, is it? I don't know whether someone has like written some, you know, some additional stories on the name, it has become famous under his name or something. I'm not sure about that. Sagodohanam matram hi graheshu grahame dinam avikshate mahabhagas tirthi kurvam tadashramam.
He, Sukadev Goswami, was accustomed to stay at the door of a householder only long enough for a cow to be milked. And he did this just to sanctify the residence.
Okay, sa go dohan matram hi graheshu grahamedinam avekshate mahabhagas tirthi kurvam tadashramam. So Sukadev Goswami, if you go to any householder house, he would stay only for the time which it takes to milk the cow. What does that mean? Not that he wanted to drink the milk. Right? So he would wait, or he would read just before the cow is milked. This is a time span given according to a measure of a practical activity, that's all. Right? So go dohan, people would understand, go dohan would take 5 minutes, milk the cow, 7 minutes, whatever. So it is saying that if he would go to anyone's house, he would stay only for 5-7 minutes. Not he would go to drink milk, right? So sometime the kaal, this measurement of the kaal is given by some activity. Right? Suppose is that the time it takes for Mangal Aarti, right? 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So one can say, okay, you know, one may give the measure as per the time it takes to do Mangal Aarti. Right? So sometime, some practical activity, the span may be indicated by some practical activity which takes place. Time span. Any other example you may think of? Okay, doodh ubalne mein. Right? But the quantity, if the quantity is large or small, whatever, so one has to see. But few minutes. Right? Few minutes. Any other practical activity where time span is indicated in journal, if you can remember anything? Time span. I'm saying time span. We indicate time span by a practical activity. Nimesh is another. So the very short time span, Nimesh means what? Time span of blinking of eye. It's a very small time span. That time span is at Nimesh. So a practical activity, the time span is related to that. There could be more. Okay. Na chutki, right? Kind of very small, I guess. The ease, chutki we kind of ease also, the ease of doing work or like that. So there could be, so therefore, go dohan matra means 5-7 minutes he would stay at any householder's house. He pura bhago sunane ke liye kaise baith gaye? Right? That would take a long time, right? 7 days, 7 nights, he would not stay 5-7 minutes and then go ahead. So there's a question. Okay, so Prabhupada further writes that Shukdev Goswami in the sixth line is an ideal preacher established in the transcendental position. From his activities, those who are in the renounced order of life and dedicated to the mission of preaching the message of Godhead should learn that they have no business with householders save and except to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Few lines ahead, or one or two lines ahead, one who is in the renounced order of life should not be allured by the glamour of the householder's worldly possessions and thus become subservient to worldly men. Right? This is an important instruction for those who wish to continue in the renounced order of life. They should not be allured by the glamour of the householder's worldly possession. Their only business should be to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. They should not become the enjoyer of the facilities afforded by householders, and thus they should not become subservient to worldly men. Text 9. Abhimanyu sutam suta prahur bhagvat uttamam tasya janma mahascharyam karmani chagrihinina.
It is said that Maharaja Parikshit is a great first-class devotee of the Lord and that his birth and activities are all wonderful. Please tell us about him.
Okay, then they are asking about Parikshit Maharaj, Abhimanyu Sutam, Parikshit was son of Abhimanyu, and he was a Bhagavat Uttam. The first class devotee among the Bhagavatas, he was Uttam. Tasya Janma Mahasharyam, the story of his Janma, his birth is of great Asharya, astonishment. Right? Therefore, tell about his Karmani and Grahanihina. To speak about his activities, his birth and activities of Maharaj Parikshit. So, the birth of Maharaj Parikshit is wonderful because in the womb of his mother he was protected by the personality of Godhead Krishna. So the Ashwatthama had shot the Brahmastra toward the womb of Uttara, and there was no time. Krishna himself had to neutralize that and himself entered the womb of Uttara to protect Maharaj Parikshit. So that's a great story, right? The Lord himself circumambulated the womb and Parikshit had a darshan within the womb. That's a story of a great wonder. How the Lord personally protected this child, gave his darshan even before he is born. And therefore the child was always searching, where is that person who gave me darshan? Therefore his name became Parikshit. So the Shaunakadi Rishi, they want to hear about Maharaj Parikshit. So Prabhupada writes in the last two lines, so everything about him is wonderful. Right? Actually, as we shall see ahead, there are so many wonderful qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. We'll see that. How it... if we study them carefully, we'll feel amazed. We'll feel so much inspired by that. Desire is expressed herein to hear about him in detail. Sa samrat kasya vahe to पांडुनाम मानवर्धनः प्रायोपविष्टो गंगायाम अनादृत्याधिराश्रियम्.
He was a great emperor and possessed all the appliances of his acquired kingdom. He was so exalted that he was increasing the prestige of the Pandu dynasty. Why did he give up everything to sit down on the bank of Ganges and fast until death?
Okay, Sir Samrat Kasseva Hetu Panduna Manvardhana. So he was very, very young and powerful. And all the citizens were obedient to him. And he had great opulences. Right? So the whole thing is mentioned that actually we don't hear of anything undesirable. It's something, if something undesirable is going on, citizens are rebelling, then a person may become frustrated. Right? Forget it. He just renounces, give up everything. But we don't, why did he just give up everything, sat at the bank of Ganga? Right? He gave up everything, gave up the royal clothes, all, he just renounced everything. He was young, he was not the age of retirement, he was very powerful. It's not that some other kings attacked and subdued him. Nothing, the citizen did not rebel. We don't hear of anything undesirable in his life. Then why did he give up everything so suddenly? Right? So, this is an important question they are asking. Right? So, important Siddhant comes out from herein. So, Prabhupada writes over herein. Consequently, if you see in the middle of the purport, there was nothing undesirable in his opulence and administration. Then why should he give up all these favorable circumstances and sit down on the bank of Ganga? Okay. Just like yesterday, our Prabhu, what is his name? Prabhuji come from MP? Roshan Prabhu, right? Roshan Prabhu. You said you got frustrated in 1 year from your job. Then you went to Kharagpur. Right? So suppose someone has a job which is very high paying, which is bringing a lot of money, and a person is doing well in the job, and everyone is happy in their job, right? And is increasing. Then suddenly he quits. People will ask, what has happened? What has happened? You know, you don't hear anything frustrating. You don't hear he has been, you know, gone out of the job. He was recently given promotion also, given a lot of money. He was doing successfully. Company was also happy. Whatever. And so on. So there was nothing frustrating in the life of Maharaj Parikshit. Still, why did he give up? Valid question. Read further, 11th. Yeah, translation.
He was such a great emperor that all his enemies would come and bow down at his feet and surrender all their wealth for their own benefit. He was full of youth and strength, and he possessed kingly opulences that were difficult to give up. Why did he want to give up everything, including his life?
Right. Same thing continues. Second verse also they're asking. No enemies, no emperors could conquer him. The other, they would all submissive to him. And so on. Why did he still renounce?
Should I read?
Yeah. So Prabhupada says everything was materially very satisfactory. The third last line. So materially everything was satisfactory. Therefore there was no question of untimely giving up his kingdom. The sages were eager to hear about all this. Right. Let's recite 12. It's an important verse. Shivaya lokasya bhavaya bhutaye.
Shivaya lokasya bhavaya bhutaye.
Yautama shloka parayana jana.
Yautama shloka parayana jana.
Jivanti natmarthamasau parashrayam.
Jivanti natmarthamasau parashrayam.
Umocha nirvidya kuta. Kalevaram.
Mocha nirvidya kuta kalevaram.
Those who are devoted to the cause of the personality of Godhead live only for the welfare, development and happiness of others. They do not live for any selfish interest. So even though the emperor Parikshit was free from all attachment to worldly possessions, how could he give up his mortal body, which was the shelter for others?
Okay, so this is important verse they are saying. So if someone answers, okay, there was no frustration in his life, he was all successful, but being a great soul, he just developed vairagya, renunciation. Right? बस उसका मूड हट गया सब चीज से, क्या रखा है संसार में, ही डेवलप्ड वैराग्य, देयरफॉर ही जस्ट लेफ्ट एवरीथिंग. शौनक आदि सेइंग, बट द ग्रेट सोल्स डू नॉट लिव फॉर देमसेल्व्स, दे लिव फॉर द सेक ऑफ अदर्स, राइट, दे लिव फॉर द सेक ऑफ अदर्स. शिवाय लोकस्य भवाय भूते, फॉर द वेलफेयर ऑफ अदर लिविंग एंटिटीज, दे लिव. ये उत्तम श्लोक परायणा जना, those who are dedicated to Supreme Lord, like Maharaj Parikshit, they are always concerned about the welfare of other living entities. They want to see the other living entities flourish. Jeevanti na atma artham, apne liye nahi jeete hain, don't live for themselves. Aso parashrayam, they live only to give shelter to others. Such devotees are shelter for others. Therefore, how could he give up, even though the body is mortal? But this king, his body, was a shelter for so many people would actually be happy under his care, protection. They would spiritually also advance under his. How did he just decided suddenly? Did he not think of other people who are under his shelter? Right? That's an important question. This question is giving such a beautiful siddhant also. Right? Lord Shiva also. Lord Shiva speaks, or I think Shukdev Goswami speaks, after Lord Shiva drinks poison. Lord Shiva drank all the poison. Then Shukdev Goswami, Manthan, Samudra Manthan Leela. So Shukdev Goswami says, Tapyante loka tapena sadhava prayasho jana. This is the nature of the great souls. Right? What? Tapyante loka tapena sadhava prayasho jana. This is 8744, just for a reference. The great soul, they become unhappy, tapyanti, they feel great pain on seeing the pain of others. So Lord Shiva, it is such a great personality, when he saw the pain of all the demigods and the demons, they are suffering, out of compassion drank the whole poison. Tapyanti loka tapena sadhava prayasho jana. That is their nature. So therefore the nature of the saintly people is to do welfare to others. So therefore how could he just give up everything? So Prabhupada describes how he was, how Maharaj Parikshit worked always for others' welfare in the purport. So Prabhupada writes in the fifth line, but since he was king for the all-round welfare of his citizens, he was always busy in the welfare work of the public, not only for this life, but also for the next. He would not allow slaughter hises or killing of cows. He was not a foolish and partial administrator who would arrange for the protection of one living being and allow other to be killed. So in this way, the king's glory are described, and thus how he could just give up his position or his service suddenly. Read further, 13th translation.
We know that you are expert in the meaning of all subjects except some portions of the Vedas, and thus you can clearly explain the answers to all the questions we have just put to you.
Okay, so they are saying that we know that you are expert in the meaning of all subjects except some anyatra, leaving aside chandasat, some portion of the Vedas which require a lot of practice of pronunciation. Right? If you have to chant Vedic mantras, perform certain ritual, certain training is needed. It's not simply the knowledge. A particular way, a particular mantra has to be chanted. So all that, you know, chandasat. So except though all that ritualistic chanting, you know all the subject matter very clearly. So then Prabhupada describes in the purport how there are brahmanas and parivarajakacharyas. The brahmanas are meant to administer some fruitive activity in the Vedas. But the parivarajakacharyas, the learned preachers, are meant to disseminate transcendental knowledge. So therefore, parivarajakacharyas are sometimes not expert in pronouncing Vedic mantras. which the Brahmanas may be expert. But that doesn't make Brahmanas higher than Parivarajakacharyas. That's the important point. And Prabhupada gives the example of the leaves of the tree. Right? So there is a tree and there are leaves of the tree. There are many mantras like the leaves of the tree. But essence of the tree is a fruit. Right? So therefore the devotees, they are expert in relishing and distribute the fruit of the tree. While the brahmanas are expert in counting the leaves of the tree. So a devotee sometimes may not be expert in counting the leaf, but he knows how to get the fruit and how to relish and distribute. So that analogy like Prabhupada gives in the second part of the purport. And Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying, realization is more important than parrot-like chanting. Realization is more important than parrot-like chanting. Just like there is a story of how when some of Prabhupada's disciples went with him to South India, some of the Brahmanas said, your disciples' pronunciation is not correct. They are not pronouncing correctly. So Prabhupada said, their pronunciation may not be correct, but their enunciation is perfect. Right? So that's the pastime. Sut uvacha. So now Sukadeva Goswami is answering. Tvapare samanu prapte tritiye yuga parye jataha parasharad yogi vasavyam kalaya harehe.
Suta Goswami said, when the second millennium overlapped the third, the great sage Vyasadeva was born to Parashara in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of Vasu.
Okay, so about the description of Vyasadeva, whom is born, when he was born. So he was born again in the Sandhya. So, 15th. Read the translations.
Once upon a time, he, Vyasadeva, as the sun rose, took his morning ablution in the waters of the Saraswati and sat alone to concentrate.
So Vyasadeva, one day he was sat down to concentrate on the banks of Saraswati. What did he see in his concentration or in his meditation is described further. Yes.
The great sage Vyasadeva saw anomalies in the duties of the millennium. This happens on the earth in different ages due to the unseen force of time.
Okay, so Paravara Gya Sarishi, he could see the past and future. Paravara Gya Sarishi Kalen Avyaktaram Hasa. So this Kal has Avyaktaram hasa. It is, you know, the great force. It is moving every person, everything, in a certain direction, right, toward the destruction ultimately, and taking them through various circumstances. But what the Kal will bring is avyakt. Avyakt means no one can really understand. But the great sage could see what the Kal is going to bring. So people in general, Kal is avyakt. Right? So what the Kal will bring, or our destiny, what is held for us in the future, in general is avyakt. So Kalen avyakta ramhasa, or Kalen gabhir ramhasa, very grave, the movements of time are very grave. No one can check them. And no one can really understand the workings of the time. And more you will study about time in the 9th chapter of the first canto. So, therefore, the great sage saw that what the time is going to bring. Yuga dharma vati karam. There will be a great anomalies in dharma. will be a widespread irreligion in the time to come. That he saw. So Prabhupada says, just read the purport, someone, the small purport.
The great sages like Vasudeva are liberated souls, and therefore they can see clearly past and future. Thus he could see the future anomalies in the Kali age, and accordingly he made arrangement for the people in general so that they can execute a progressive life in this age, which is full of darkness. The people in general in this age of Kali are too much interested in matter, which is temporary. Because of ignorance, they are unable to evaluate the assets of life and be enlightened in spiritual knowledge.
Okay, so that's what he saw, and he began to contemplate. Bhautikanam cha bhavanam shaktirasam cha tatkritam ashraddhadhanan hishatvan durmedan rashitayushah durbhagam sa janan viksya munirdivyena chakshusha sarvavarnashramanam yad dadyohitam mamogadrik.
The great sage was fully equipped in knowledge, could see through his transcendental vision the deterioration of everything material due to the influence of the age. He could also see that the faithless people in general would be reduced in duration of life and would be impatient due to lack of goodness. Thus, he contemplated for the welfare of men in all statuses and orders of life.
Okay, so Vyasadeva, he could see Bhautika Naam Cha Bhava Naam Shakti Rasam Cha Tat Kritam. Even the power of everything material will diminish. Right? We can see that, right? Power of everything material matter. The people used to have powerful bodies. You know, what, 50 years back, 100 years back, so really strong bodies. Now, you know, even the age of 20, 30, back pain, knee pain, right? Everything, all the pains in the body begin in the very young age only. Is it not? There is no, the power of material objects in general is deteriorating. A power of Prabhupada also describes, one's memory is deteriorating. Chip memory is increasing, but one's personal memory is deteriorating. Then the power of, the cows will are giving lesser and lesser milk. The cows will give Prabhupada more milk. Earth is not generating so much of grain as it would generate earlier. So if we analyze, the power of all the material objects are also deteriorating. In every way, there is a lot of deterioration. Oh, Shraddha Dhanan, people are becoming faithless. Nihi Satvan, they have no goodness. Devoid of Nihi Satvan, there is no Sattva Gun left. Durmedhan, no good intelligence. Right? Rashita Ayusha, they are reduced age. Durbhagam, very unfortunate. In this way, he saw really like people are going to suffer. Right? Then what did he do? Dadyo hitam amogadrik. After seeing all this, he began to contemplate what can be done for their welfare. Again, very important. So whenever the great souls, they see the pitiable condition of the living entities, they contemplate how can these be benefited. Jivera dukha dekhi acharya karunari dai. Vichara karen lokir kaise hit hai. Acharya, Advaita Acharya, when he saw the unhappiness of the living entities, his heart became karuna hridaye and began to contemplate how will the living entities be benefited. And then he concluded only when the Lord himself comes and spread his own devotional service, then he began to worship the Lord, crying out for him to descend. All that story we have already heard. So similarly, Vyasadeva began to contemplate, think about the welfare of the people in general. Right? And Vyasadeva's vision has been described as amogadrik. Amog means infallible. He could see that what Karl will going to bring, and his vision was infallible. Next verse. Yes, read the translation.
He saw that the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which the people's occupations could be purified. And to simplify the process, he divided the one Veda into four in order to expand them among men.
Okay, so then he saw that there are certain sacrifices they can perform mentioned in the Vedas by which they can be purified, their occupations can be purified. And thus he began to divide the Vedas into four. Right? Categorization. Veda is one, difficult to, you know, take out or understand. So divide it into four, so that categorized it. Some people can take benefit from this Veda, some others. And then he asks his disciples to expand upon it, and so on. Fine? So, further, 20th.
The four divisions of the original sources of knowledge, the Vedas, were made separately. But the historical facts and authentic stories mentioned in the Puranas are called the fifth Veda.
Okay, so the four divisions he did, but he also compiled Itihas and Puran, right? The Puranas and Itihasas. So Itihasa is Ramayana and Mahabharata are considered like Itihasas, and the various other Puranas he compiled. And they all together constitute Panchamo Veda. So again, I would like to mention that there are certain Vedic scholars, they say we don't consider Puranas as the Praman. Right? We will only accept what is given in the Shruti, the Veda as the Praman. That is the Praman. You are quoting from Puranas, we don't accept that as Praman means evidence. But the Shrutis themselves says that Vedas are considered this Itihasas and Purana, they are like Panchama Veda. So their Praman is as good as Shruti Praman. Shruti and Smriti, right? Shruti and Smriti. So these Puranas constitute Smriti. Their compilation of various stories. So there are many Vedic scholars who do not accept Smriti Praman. But Shruti says Smritis are Praman. So there is a verse, if you see Vishwanath Thakur or in the Prabhupada mentioned in the Purport, in the Chand Yoga Upanishad 714, which is Shruti, that says, Itihasa Purana Panchama Veda Nam Vedaha. No Itihasa and Purana to be Panchama Veda, fifth Veda. So there are certain references like that. In the Shruti themselves, they established the Itihasa and Purana to be Panchama Veda. Therefore, it is a valid Praman. Chand Yogya Upanishad. Here in the purport is mentioned in the fourth last line. In the Chand Yogya Upanishad 714, it says Itihasaha Puranaha Panchamo Veda Nam Vedaha. Itihas Puranako Pancham Vedaha Janiye. Fifth Veda.
Prabhuji?
Yes.
This out of the Puranas, there are 18 Puranas, right?
Yes.
And out of the 18 Puranas, there is one Bhagavad Purana also. So that Bhagavad Purana and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the same, or what is?
I'll just reconfirm that. I heard although Srimad Bhagavatam is sometime included in that 18, but actually it stands out of those Puranas, all of them. It is like Krishna Tulya. So it has its own special position also, right? Beyond the 18 Puranas. Right, so one is like a generic categorization, but Srimad Bhagavatam has this. I'll confirm, I have to just read it again. I'm not able to fully recollect. Something like Krishna and Balaram has been counted as one of the incarnations of Purusha, 20th and 21st. We just studied yesterday. Krishna and Balaram was counted as general incarnation, but immediately specific. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. He is not just one of the avatars, he is the avatari. Therefore, similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam sometimes is generically categorized. But it stands out at its own special position. That is the understanding. Okay, so right, so itihasa puranam cha panchamo ved uchyate, right? Here also Bhagavatam also says itihasa and purana are like panchama ved, and Shruti also says they are pancham ved, so they are a perfect evidence. Further read.
After the Vedas were divided into four divisions, Paila Rishi became the professor of the Rig Veda, Jaimini the professor of the Sama Veda, and Vaishyampayana alone became glorified by the Yajur Veda.
Further,
the Sumantu Muni Angira, who was very devotedly engaged, was interested with the Atharva Veda, and my father Romaharshana was interested with the Puranas and historical records.
Okay, so Vyasadev wrote all of this, first divided the Vedas, also wrote Purana Itihasas, and entrusted to his disciples to teach and further expand. Their names are mentioned. Further,
all these learned scholars in their turn rendered their interested Vedas into their many disciples, grand disciples and great grand disciples, and thus the respective branches of the followers of the Vedas came into being.
Okay, so Prabhupada is therefore saying whatever knowledge exists is coming from Vedas only, even all the modern knowledge, further expand. So therefore Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says, like he says, what Prabhupada has given us in ISKCON is not to be preserved like a museum, but is to be developed like a garden. Right? Sometimes like some people say, just preserve it. Museum, you know, what Prabhupada has given, usko bas shisha laga ke charo taraf se, usko rakh do, kind of. No, whatever Prabhupada has given up, you develop it like a garden. Beautify it with a further realization, speak in terms of the modern context. Right? Getting the point? So therefore, the Vedic knowledge which was given by Vyasadeva was expanded further and further by the disciples. Right? As per the time, context, as per the need of the society, it should be expanded. That's always the need is there. So Prabhupada also never said, okay, I have written sufficient. Prabhupada said, I have given everything you need. But then he also encouraged his disciple to keep writing, keep expanding it. Right? So therefore, in a sense, the gist has been given by Prabhupada. Right? Or it has always been given by every acharya. Everything needed is given. But each acharya keeps expanding it further and further by the realization as per the need of the time. And also the knowledge has to be given contemporary expression. Very important. Contemporary expression so people can relate to it. So like that. So therefore it's always, Prabhupada also encourages devotees to write. Explain the same thing. Give a contemporary expression, contemporary analogies, examples. Right? Now we may talk of, suppose you know, we may explain something using, say, WhatsApp, the media, not existing only, earlier. Right? Now you can give an analogy of a cell phone, email, Twitter, WhatsApp, to explain some point that never existed before. Right? 20, 20 years back, you cannot give such an example. So basically what I'm saying is contemporary expression. I'm just explaining that point. So in a contemporary terms, one can explain the knowledge. It becomes effective. People are able to relate to it. So therefore says, Prabhupada says, no one therefore can claim independent knowledge beyond the Vedas. Any knowledge that exists is ultimately expanded from the Vedas only. It is, the root is there. Fine. Go ahead.
Thus the great sage Vyasadeva, who is very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so they might be assimilated by less intellectual men.
Okay. So, read the last four lines of the purport. The kind-hearted, powerful sage. Purport, last three lines.
Purport, last three lines.
The kind-hearted, powerful.
The kind-hearted, powerful sage, Srila Vyasadeva, divided Vedas in various ways so that they may be practically followed by less intelligent persons in the modes of passion and ignorance.
It is explained in the next shloka as follows.
Okay. Yes, read the next verse.
Out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus he compiled the great historical narration called the Mahabharata for women, laborers and friends of the twice born.
Okay, stri shudra dvij bandhu naam trai na shuti gochara. So even after he divided the Vedas and made it simple, he understood that still it is not within their reach to assimilate Vedas, especially women, shudras, labor class, dvij bandhu naam, the friend of the twice born. They will not be able to assimilate. For them specifically, he wrote Mahabharat. He wrote Mahabharat. So, what is the purpose of Mahabharat? Prabhupada writes in the second paragraph, fourth line. The purpose of Mahabharat is to administer the purpose of the Vedas. And therefore, within this Mahabharat, the summary Veda of Bhagavad Gita is placed. And Prabhupada writes that how this Mahabharata is more important than the Vedas in this time and age specifically. Yes, further.
Oh, twice born Brahmanas, still his mind was not satisfied, although he engaged himself in working for the total welfare of the people.
Okay, here is the climax. Did everything foresaw what is going to come, contemplated what is to be done for their welfare, divided the Vedas, wrote Mahabharat, wrote Itihasas, and gave the disciples. Everything he did, whatever he understood for the welfare of people he could do, whatever was within his capacity, he did. But na tushyad hridayam tata, heart was not satisfied. Dissatisfaction of the heart. Right? Everyone in this material world is trying to do whatever is possible, whatever is advertised. They will take a best home, best job if they can get. Right? Try to adjust everything. Na tushyad hridayam tata. Satisfaction is not still there. Whatever a person does, is it not? Whatever you may do, whatever dreams you had, to whatever extent they got fulfilled, and so on. Na tushyad hridayam tata. There is no satisfaction of the heart. That is the important point over herein. So he is dealing with all the Vedic knowledge, right? What to speak of, what kind of satisfaction or something will be there in the material, dealing with the material world, material assets, right, which is themselves a source of misery. But here he is like combining the Vedic knowledge, Mahabharata and so on. It's not an ordinary thing he is doing. But there also there is there is dissatisfaction. Yes. Further.
Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself.
Na ati prasidad hridaya. That means there was some satisfaction, right, done something, but not fully satisfied in the heart. And idam cho vacha dharmavit, thus he spoke. Spoke means he internally spoke to himself, right? Internal dialogue. Okay.
I have under strict disciplinary vows unpretentiously worshipped the Vedas, the spiritual masters and the altar of sacrifice. I have also abided by the rulings and have shown the import of disciplic succession through the explanation of the Mahabharata, by which even women, Shudras and other friends of the twice born can see the path of religion.
Okay, so Dhridavratena hi maya chandamsi guru agnaya worship thus. My gurus, thus fire, I have took, there was no discrepancy in my vrata. Right? With strict discipline, I followed the vows. And there was no pretension. Unpretentially, I worshipped Veda, spiritual master. I also did something for the less intelligent people also. So therefore, whatever was within my capacity, I have done it. Still, there is no satisfaction. Why is that? Yes, text 30th.
I am feeling incomplete, though I myself am fully equipped with everything required by the Vedas.
Okay, so he is saying, What is this? I have given all the four Vedas and I am not satisfied. How will people gain any satisfaction? Right? I am equipped with all the Vedas. Now I am doing something. Right? I am doing something. But I am not feeling satisfaction. How will people be benefited? Right? So if you go with some product and say this will make you happy. I say, are you using this product? Did it give you happiness? No, I am getting some money for it. Right? So therefore, right? I am advertising this product in journal. That product, so therefore he is saying this product, I am giving this product, but I am not happy. How will people be happy? Right? So there's a serious, you know, question on what is doing, how will it be benefiting anyone? So Prabhupada writes, again very important, undoubtedly Sri Vyasadeva was complete in all the details of Vedic achievement. Purification of the living being submerged in matter is made possible by the prescribed activities in the Vedas, but the ultimate achievement is different. Again, very, very important words. Please contemplate on these words. So he gave them the process of purification, right, through various sacrifices enjoined in the various portions of the Vedas and so on. So the process of purification is given, but the ultimate achievement is different. What that means? He still not give them anything to be nourished. Process of purification is given, but nothing for the nourishment is given. That will nourish the soul. They may be purified of material contamination. Right? Getting the point? So someone is very sick, you give him antibiotics. Fine, infection is gone. Par aadmi to phir bhi mara hua hai. Right? Right? Still he has no energy. Infection is gone. But what about the positive health? Right? You have to give him some health supplements. So on, tonics, vitamins. Getting the point, no? So he is not given anything for the nourishment of the soul. Infection may go away, purification may happen. But nourishment, unless the person is nourished, how will he feel happy? So that's a point. Kimva bhagavata dharma na prayena nirupitaha priyaha paramahamsanam to eva hi achyuta priyaha.
This may be because I did not specifically point out the devotional service of the Lord, which is dear both to perfect beings and to the infallible Lord.
Okay, so Kimva, he is thinking, probably I have not sufficiently talked about Bhagavad Dharma. I have not done anything which exclusively, prayen nirupita, which repeatedly, exclusively glorifies Bhagavad Dharma, devotion to the Lord, which is priyam paramahamsa naam. This Bhagavad Dharma is very dear to the paramhamsas, to the perfected beings, to the pure devotees. This Bhagavad Dharma is also ta eva hi achyuta priyaha. This Bhagavad Dharma is also very dear to Supreme Lord. Again, a beautiful verse, right? Bhagavad Dharma glorification. Priya paramhamsa naam ta eva hi achyuta priyaha. I have not probably sufficiently given Bhagavad Dharma. And so therefore, one point we learn is, sincere contemplation can give the answers to our questions which we have, which may be lurking in the heart. If you sincerely contemplate, pray, then the Lord may reveal. So therefore, Vyasadeva got the clue himself. But it will be reconfirmed by his spiritual master. Therefore, suppose we are contemplating and we get some clue, we should reconfirm with spiritual master or the senior Vaishnavas. So that reconfirmation takes place in the next chapter. Read.
As mentioned before, Narada reached the cottage of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa on the banks of the Saraswati just as Vyasadeva was regretting his defects.
Okay, so thus the Narada came. And Vishwanatha Thakur also writes, he felt this dissatisfaction. He was an incarnation of the Supreme Lord himself. He should not have felt, but this was arranged by the Lord himself also, because Srimad Bhagavatam had to manifest. And the Siddhant remains, unless one profusely glorifies the Supreme Lord, the heart will not be nourished. It may be free from infection, but will not be nourished. So nourishment of the heart, ultimate achievement is different. And ultimate achievement is nourishment of the soul, which can only be done by Bhagavad Dharma. Okay, the last verse.
At the auspicious arrival of Sri Narada, Sri Vyasadeva got up respectfully and worshipped him, giving him veneration equal to that given to the Brahmaji, the creator.
Okay, so Prabhupada writes that how, because Narada is the representative of Lord Brahma, he has received the knowledge from Lord Brahma, therefore he is respected exactly like Lord Brahma. So Vyasadeva worshipped him. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanand. You can give me the question book. Okay, so you should write the verse and translation of 1340 and 1343. Write the verse and translation of 1340 and 1343. That is the question one. Secondly, based upon this last section, based upon verse 42-44, describe the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Describe the mood of approaching Srimad Bhagavatam. Based upon this section we discussed, na? So first is you quote the verse and translate the two verses. Secondly, you describe based upon this section, and based upon means this purports. Based upon Prabhupada's purports, describe how Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost, right? That is how Srimad Bhagavatam is topmost. How it is, or did I say, what did I say before, just before? Describe the glories, describe the mood of approaching Srimad Bhagavatam. How Srimad Bhagavatam can bestow the highest good fortune. Basically, right? It comes under the glories only. So in this section, you should carefully study the purports and the striking, Prabhupada writes many striking, beautiful lines. Try to cover that. So describe the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, the mood of approaching Srimad Bhagavatam, and the benefit we get from studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on. Right? So that's the second question. what is the real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam? Right? Real process, we discussed that. What is the real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam? 3 R I had described. Real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. And within this question also add receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. And what does realization means? Yatha dhitam. What does realization means? We discussed that. 4 points. What does it mean to realize Srimad Bhagavatam? We discussed that. Real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. No, I am giving this question. This may not be there. Some questions I give miscellaneous. So, real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam and what does realization means? Fine? Okay, so this is some question from this chapter, 1.4. Okay, so there are no verses to be quoted from this. I think this second question is there in your 1.4 question. The question which I gave is there. What are the aspects of personal realization, right? What does personal realization means? The question I have given is there in your book also. The fourth question which I have given. I gave you two questions on Bhagavatam. Third, I said describe the real process. Fourth question is 1.4.2. What are the aspects of personal realization? This fourth chapter, second question. What are the aspects of personal realization? This is the fourth question I have given. And list out Shaunak Rishi's questions. What are the questions of Shaunak Rishi? Question of Shaunak Rishi. And describe this verse. You may or may not quote. So quoting I am giving optional. Okay, 1.4.12. If you want, you can memorize and quote. Otherwise, specially describe, elaborate upon this verse. Shivaya lokasya bhavaya bhute. 1.4.12. Shivaya lokasya bhavaya bhute yuttama shloka parayana jana. So elaborate upon this verse. You may quote or may not quote, but elaborate. So question 4. Little modification I have given. So I have totally given 5 questions, right? Well, we discussed, real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. 3R I gave. Okay. 3R. Right? Prabhupada writes in the, based upon verse number, based upon verse number. No, it's, I think, based upon you find, na? Yeah, so real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. It may be from the chapter 4 or 3? Achha, 4 first verse. I gave the Sanskrit equivalent also. Yeah. No, I gave the Sanskrit equivalents also to you all. It is not 1.4.1. Real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam is actually from based upon 1.3.44, last verse of chapter 3. Real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam is described in 1.3.44. Fine? Okay? So, first question, I gave you two verses. Second question was, okay, so first question can be 15 marks. Second question can be also 15 marks, 30. And other two questions can be 5 marks. They are smaller questions. And the last question, 10 marks. Fine, I've given 5 questions. 15, 15, 5, 5, 10. Third and fourth question are very small. And the 10 is the last. Last question has... Yeah, there is one question only. But... no, that is not the last question. Last question is list out Shaunak Rishi's questions. And explain Shivaya Lokasya Bhavaya Bhuteye Yottama Shloka Parayana Jana. That is the last question. What is meant by personal realization? That is the fourth question. Is everyone clear with the questions? Oh, should I say again? Listen carefully. Okay, I'll just quickly say. The first question is quote verse and translation of the two verses. That is clear? Which I have given to you. And the second question is now describe the glories, importance and the mood of approaching Srimad Bhagavatam based upon the purpose of that section. 15 marks. Third is describe the process of receiving Bhagavatam based upon verse 1344. Fourth question is what are the aspects of personal realization which is there in your workbook. Second question, that is the fourth question. Both are 5 marks. And last question is fourth question in your book. List out Shaunaka Rishi's questions. And I am saying instead of quoting, explain, elaborate. Just instead of quoting, I am saying elaborate this verse. You may quote, that is optional, I am leaving. I have already given you to memorize two verses. Fine? Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna.